Our reading this morning is a version of Psalm 42, interpreted by Nan Merrill. All this I remembered as I poured out my soul, how I knew your presence within me as I went out among our throng, proceeding to a house of prayer. With loud voice, we gave praise and acclamation, a multitude proclaiming gratitude and joy. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? My hope is in the Beloved, my strength and my joy. O my soul, open the door to love. My soul is cast down within me, yet I remember you. From my mother's womb to maturity, through all the days of my life, deep calls to deep. As the thunder of your waterfalls, all your waves and your billows have washed over me. By day, you lead me in steadfast love. At night, your song is within me, prayer from the heart of my heart. Deep calls to deep. There is a chalice lighting by Reverend Gordon McKeenan that begins with those words. Deep calls to deep. Joy calls unto joy. Light calls unto light. In our theme for October, it is not just listening, but deep listening. It is the deep which I have been meditating on these past few weeks as part of my own personal connection, not just to listen, but my commitment to deeply listen. Deep calls to deep, says the psalmist in our reading, an interpretation by, I would call her a feminist, Nan Merrill. But what does that mean? Deep calls to deep. Is there the noun forgotten in that sentence? Is it cryptic for some reason? Am I not smart enough to get it? No, that's not the case, but rightly it does imply that we must fill in the blank. What deep listening calls to another deep listening? One common understanding of this psalm is that it expresses a cry from the heart of God's people during a time of trouble. People in exile looking outward onto their homes as troubles continue to surge. The deep we may feel in our trials, in this moment even, is wave-like, deep after watery deep. Catherine Keller, one of my favorite theologians, if you could find in my sermons a theologian I quote a lot, it would be one of them would be Catherine Keller. She speaks another word for this deep in Hebrew, tehom, the womby chaos, the turbulence, the uncertainty, the storms, and the depths of our actual life process. In that chaos, we may find our origins, our story, our birth story of coming to being, Genesis. From what here do we spring? Now, the formlessness of the deep does not necessarily mean evil. It's not a fixed state. The deep can be carried within us, within our souls. We hold within us the past of this place, this land, as we contemplate the future. There's creation story within science, science within creation story, our very human landscape is an echo of the cosmos, the formlessness, the uncontainable, the vibrating with life and freedom in which there is pain, suffering, but it is bound up with our joy and liberation. What would it mean for us to listen deeply as members of the Santa Clarita community? It's something that I've been contemplating myself as I live in Hollywood and strive to be a leader among you in Santa Clarita. Decided that to go deep in my listening would mean exploring one person at a time, community partnerships, strategic relationships between our community, between our congregation and the greater Valley community is one at a time. How can I go deep in my understanding of this valley? What are its origin stories that are important to the call of this congregation in the next decade of its life? What am I learning that will no doubt shape several sermons, several illustrations, several newsletter articles? It's true that we can only scratch the surface in the few minutes I have with you today. A local youth activist, Jess, agreed to speak with me about the history, the origin story of policing in Santa Clarita Valley. I wanted to understand. So I listened to Jess, and what I learned about policing was also matching with what I had learned about her. She grew up in Santa Clarita Valley and always thought that she would leave, but due to the pandemic, is here with us at home. She decided that if she were going to stay, she was going to go deep. I had heard her say at an organizing meeting a month or so ago that she was doing research on the history of policing in Santa Clarita Valley, a complex storyline that is much rumor as it is pasty gloss or brutal truth. I asked if this was a school project or a thesis or something for an organization, and she said, no, none of these things. This was a passion project to which she felt deeply compelled. Jess is going deep into the origins of life in our valley, to our watery depths. What deep-seated powers call to our deep sense of justice? What deep truths about police brutality stretch and home here calls us to find our way through the watery depths of our understanding of collective action? Deep calls to deep. Reverend Frederick Buechner wrote about this business of listening. He said, a person's life is full of all sorts of voices calling them in all sorts of directions. Some are voices from inside, those voices small and still. And some of them are voices from outside. The more alive and alert we are, the more clamorous our lives are. Which do we listen to? Which deep calling to what? What kind of voice do we listen for? What kind of voice are we going to be echoing back? In sending out letters for this UU The Vote campaign, we're engaging in a reciprocal trustworthiness, but it's asymmetrical, right? We don't put our return address on the envelope, but it's this asymmetrical yet reciprocal trustworthiness that Keller is talking about when she writes about the watery depths of chaos. It's not something to be afraid of, but it's something to draw us closer. The infinite deep that calls us to our own deepest realities. In the understanding of deep canvassing, it's indicated that it's much easier to change someone else's mind by giving them our empathy than activating their shame. We have to have patience. It's not about calling people out or labeling them. It may feel like a big departure from a lot of the political dialogue we're surrounded by, but this is the Unitarian Universalist way. It may not be symmetrical, and yet the call and response of the world, of the earth, is also not that. I'm so grateful to Susie Rizzo and Barbara Cogswell for connecting me with leaders in Santa Clarita Valley history and the Placerita Canyon Nature Center. I cannot wait to go back and when it is safe and right to do so, to visit the animals and to connect with the learning that can happen there. And they connected me with Sue Wallander, who has been working on the Indigenous history projects within the Placerita Canyon Nature Center. And I learned about the Tataviam, the indigenous people of this land who were converted, displaced, nearly wiped out in the California missions. This distinct community originated in lineages and villages and cultures of a pre-mission period. Years and years, these groups were in traditional villages in the geography surrounding our area. Malibu in the west, Cahuenga and Encino in the south, Tohunga in the Before the founding of the Mission San Fernando, these indigenous ancestors lived in the region in autonomous lineages within villages. When the missions arrived, they tried to detribalize the Indians and turn them into Spanish subjects and later into citizens under Mexican rule. The families, the lineages, the ceremonies, however, persisted through to the end of the mission period. Voice concern over the land grab beginning in 1797. Living up until their 80s, the final couple was kicked off their land as the final people with sovereign living of Tatavian people in Southern California. Now is the time, Reverend Dr. Kiyama Raman writes, to call on the memories of the ancestors who thought they could not walk another step toward freedom, and yet they did. That history is deep. It calls out to our deep attention and deep listening. It is that time and place to call on the memories of ancestors who, when the darkness of their lives threatened to take away hope and light, reached a little deeper, prayed yet another prayer, sent another letter, made another call. It is that time and place to remember those who came through the long night to witness another sunrise. Deep calls to deep. New members, this may sum up my message to you. Go deep. This is not to say you should immediately call up every ministry team and volunteer for every task, though we hope you will journey into your own role, your own place to connect our congregation's life force to your own. But it's to say we need people who go deep, who call to the depths of this community, of this faith, who are willing to plunge into what they may not completely understand, are excited to learn with the fierce understanding that the undulating of the holy includes our own vibration, our own heartbeat, our own breath. Who knows when we will need a reminder that we are enough. If we promise members of this congregation to go deep with one another, we can get through a long night to witness another sunrise. We can be here for one another, where our deep hunger can be met with voices clamoring, telling us, yes, yes, the spirit of life is calling, as Cole read so beautifully in our chalice lighting. The spirit of life is calling. Deep calls unto deep.